I'm Ben Langston, and this is One Up, One Down, a monthly podcast where you'll hear stories from people about a time in their lives they felt up and a time they felt down. Together, we'll explore the impact these times have had on them and their lives. Stories are powerful, and while our life experiences vary, I believe that the emotions we feel because of the things that happen to us can help us relate to one another. I hope the podcast can help people see that none of us are alone in how we feel, both in up and down times. If you like what you hear and would like to support the podcast, then you can do so by heading over to patreon.com/updown. If not, that's fine. I just hope you enjoy hearing people's stories. Some of you may have noticed that the podcast name and logo have changed slightly. Basically, during the various COVID lockdowns, I couldn't carry on recording the podcast and had a lot of time to think. With that, I decided to change the name and tweak the logo design, just so that they're more representative of what the podcast is actually about. I also want to apologise for the sound quality in this episode. It was my first time using the mics for a really, really long time and I had them on the wrong setting. So there is a background hum and some distortion at times. I hope it doesn't affect your enjoyment too much and I'll make sure it doesn't happen again. Anyway, I hope you like the little changes that I've made, and now on to today's episode. Hi Yasmin, welcome to One Up, One Down. Are you okay today?
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm okay, yeah. Had some technical difficulties before starting this, which was a bit stressful, but thankfully we're ready to go now. Do you just want to kind of introduce yourself and just say a bit about who you are and stuff like that? That's okay?
Yeah, sure. So I'm Yasmin. I'm quite new to Bristol, so I moved in February. And yeah, just trying to obviously find my way in a new city. I guess, yeah, I think in terms of this, we'll probably pick off on some of the things, but I was quite interested in doing this podcast mainly because of how I guess my mental health and my family's mental health has affected obviously ups and downs of life. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm quite open about the fact that I have bipolar. Okay. And some of my family members also suffer from chronic mental illness, so okay. That's affected that.
Okay, well, thank you for letting me know. So I give everyone the opportunity to kind of start where they want to start. So if you want to start talking about an up or talking about the down first, it's up to you, really. Yeah. How would you want to start?
So actually, I always think an up comes from a down.
Okay.
Because yeah. You would never really experience an up until you know what it's like to be down. So I kind of want to start with the down and how that created an up.
Okay.
If yeah. That makes sense.
That does make perfect sense. So I'll let you carry on.
Okay. So I think for me, I grew up half in Malaysia, half in the UK.
Okay.
And my grandmother fell quite ill when we were living over here, and my mother also comes from a village when she was 13. There was no electricity, no water. Her parents couldn't afford to send her to secondary school, but luckily she's really bright. Okay. So she aced all her exams, got a scholarship, and she actually came over here without knowing any English.
Right.
And I think, so a lot of that obviously being around other Malaysians when we lived in Portsmouth and she was doing her masters, it was a really nice community. But she also had a mental illness that she's okay talking about it now, but it really affected her home life.
And so is that something that you noticed when you were growing up then?
Well, I thought it was normal. I thought everyone's parents had, you know, were quite, I guess, emotionally dependent sometimes on their kid. Mm-hmm. And because I couldn't talk about it because if she felt so ashamed about it, I just thought, oh, that's what an everyday family is like. It's like you'll have domestics all the time. There'll be times where mom won't feel like cooking or getting out of bed, or she's feeling sad, or you know, dad's having an argument because of stress. And I thought that was just normal.
Mm-hmm.
And as I became older, I realized that actually it's not, and I began to feel really sad about it. But I think the positive from it is that I kind of started doing tons of activities outside of going home. So in a way, I didn't want to go home because I didn't know what I was going to come home to. And I didn't want to have to deal with whatever was going on at home.
So were you feeling, you said you were feeling sad. So were you feeling sad like in yourself or for yourself and for the situation? Or were you feeling sad for your mum?
I felt sad for my mum because I was like, she worked so hard. And then she's like been given basically a really bad, you know, side of coin. And she was still kind of financially helping a lot of her family because the 98 recession in Malaysia really, really affected our relatives. So they had really stable jobs, they went to university, they did everything, you know, right. I say that in quotation marks, I realise it's a podcast. And, you know, some of them were really struggling, you know, struggling to even have food on the table. And so my mum was helping out and my dad was trying to help out as much as they can. And then my grandmother passed away. And I was like, I felt like it's really unfair. But also, yeah, it's just really sad for her to have to go through that kind of all over again. I'm amazed by her every single day. I think she's an amazing person. But at the same time, I feel like that, you know, God's just been really unfair to us. And been really unfair to my dad as well, but he had his difficulties growing up and he always tried to do the right thing. And sometimes doing the right thing is never, like, is not enough. So yeah, I found that difficult. And also I went to a really, really, really affluent school in Malaysia. So in Malaysia, if you don't have a Malaysian passport, you can't go to local school. There wasn't really much choice, so I had to go to that school anyway. And some of the kids there were like princesses and stuff, and they owned like private jets. And I'm like, God, my cousins can barely afford school shoes. Why am I here? And then why is my mum struggling, you know, with her mental health and having to deal with that? It's so much stress. And my dad had to live away a lot of the time. So I was like, yeah, it's nowhere near as bad as other people living in Malaysia. Because you see that every single day. But at the same time, we're like, well, this is also really difficult.
I mean, I think everything's relative, isn't it? And, you know, when you're experiencing things like that, then you're going to feel it in the way that you feel it. And it's not always helpful to compare yourself to others, I suppose, in that situation, because what you think and feel is real as well. So.
I think especially both my parents are kind of like, we just got on with it then. Because that's how they dealt with it. My mum obviously would be like in tears, but also trying to deal with it. But I said, well, I need to get the tears out, otherwise I'm useless. Whilst my dad will keep it in and then erupt. So this is why I think I liked swimming, because I was like, every single day I had something to do and I'm like kind of getting better at it. And I got quite into debating, and yeah, I do photography now. It's like something to kind of distract yourself from the situation, and that definitely came from my dad.
That's difficult, I suppose, to be able to manage. And you talked about your mum feeling kind of ashamed, or you said ashamed, so I didn't know what you kind of meant by that.
I think it's, so most people in our family are quite, on the Malaysian side, are quite open about it. I believe my aunt, actually, she's a social worker, so she's obviously trained in that kind of stuff. And I think did psychology as well. So, I mean, she's really fairly well-versed, and my uncle's always been really helpful about it all. So I don't think it's from the immediate family. I think it was more in the 90s. It was kind of like, even in the UK, that we talk about it. It was more like, you lie to your employer about your mental health because you don't get sacked. It was that kind of mentality, I think. So both my parents said, you know, it's fine to talk about it within the family, but don't tell your friends, don't tell your school, because it's a selective school. If they find out you've got problems at home and you don't make the grade, they will kick you out. So there was an element of that. But luckily, I'm a lazy person, but fairly academic, so I didn't get kicked out, even though I kept getting detention.
that's something. So then, in terms of talking about your kind of down, then was that whole period of time kind of growing up?
I think the down was kind of that feeling of hopelessness. Of just going, because also it's a chronic illness. You know that, like, deep down, it's only going to get worse and worse and worse. And it's like, well, like at this age, I'm like, now I know that, like, pretty much that's going to that's always going to be her.
Mm.
But also it happened when I was like 3. So part of me is like, well, I never knew what mum was like before. And childbirth also kind of makes that, like, you know, the onset of it worse. So I was a little bit like, oh, if I wasn't born, would she still be like this? And my dad had to reassure me, no, she's always, she was going to have it if it was you or something else. It'll be something.
Okay.
And I realised that it's been affecting me as an adult as well, with, like, my relationships with people.
Okay.
And I think that's the other downer, is that, yeah, but I want to start my own family.
Mm-hmm.
So the other, one thing is, like, am I going to be like her? Am I going to get worse?
Okay.
Which is a bit of a selfish way of seeing it, but, you know, I've seen what it's done to my dad and to me. Do I want to do that to my new family?
Mm.
And also, the idea of someone being, like, reliant on me emotionally terrifies me.
Okay.
Because I was like, well, you know, with boyfriends and stuff, like, oh, yeah, I love you. But when you start needing me emotionally, I'm worried I'm going to resent you. I'm worried that that you're going to have, like, arguments all the time, because I'm like, well, yeah, get your stuff together, you know what I mean? Like, stop being, it's like, I dealt with this, why can't you deal with this? And that comparison again is just really toxic.
Mm, okay.
So I think that's, yeah, I think it really affects how you deal with other people, because the stuff, like, things that kids are taught at a young age, I didn't get taught that.
Okay, that's interesting. So I suppose, yeah, there's a few things there,
yeah,
if you don't mind me asking about. So you talk about having that kind of feeling of not knowing who your mum was before you kind of existed, I suppose, which none of us did. But yeah, I was just wondering, how do you think about that? Does that kind of, is that something that you think about often, or is that just a kind of passing thing that you have in the back of your mind?
I think it mainly happens when, because my parents met at university. So like when I talk about my uni days, and then I was like, oh, so what was mum like? And, you know, like, what, especially when I was going through uni, it's like, oh, so what were lectures like? Like, where did mum sit? Where did you sit? Like, you know, do you have a study group kind of thing?
Yeah.
What did she do? Like, because I mean, other societies, and obviously you do what students do.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, your mum must have done that at some point. I was like, yeah. Obviously not too much detail.
Yeah.
I think that comes up as just, being where I am in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of wondering, what was she like?
So that comparison type thing.
Yeah, but I assume I would like to think that they're happy, rather than, I just like to think that they were happy, having fun, and that all the things that I kind of see in the background were only something that kind of happened after she got unwell. But my dad said she was exactly the same before. She's like still eccentric, still dyeing her hair random colours.
Okay.
So I kind of got a bit of relief when I said, nope, she's exactly the same as before. So
that's good. So I suppose it's just funny sometimes how we create ideas in our heads, and if we don't test them and talk about them, then they kind of become this big thing that we don't even know if it's real or not real. So I think
that's true.
And the other thing, you talked about how you cope with stuff, so throwing yourself into new activities outside the home, and I was just wondering if there's anything else you sort of did to help you cope, or whether it was mostly just about chucking yourself into this, that and everything.
I think I was just a really, really curious person.
Mm-hmm.
And I think is that not just my parents, but my school, when people around me and my extended family all just like, you know, if you want to try something, give it a go.
Yeah.
And the worst thing is you don't like it. The best thing is that you pursue it.
Mm.
So I think it wasn't even because the situation at home was bad. It was just, I had like so much active encouragement from people around me.
So that's quite empowering then, I would imagine.
Yeah, because I think as an adult, you're always like, oh, I don't want to, like, I'm really worried I'm going to make, like, I'm just going to seem like a complete idiot for trying this, or, oh, someone's going to judge me because I did this incorrectly. But from a young age, it's like, you're going to fail more times than you succeed, but, like, the fact that you give it a go makes it, like, it's so much better than being too scared to try it.
So
I think that's really helped me as an adult.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that something that's kind of stuck with you then throughout life?
Yeah, definitely. I think when I had difficulties with my own mental health, so again, I'm surrounded by people who constantly encourage. She's like, oh, well, why don't you pick up your camera and, yeah, do you want to give it a try? And I started taking photos that I really liked and started getting jobs and stuff. But it was because she actively said, give it a go.
Mm.
And it was the same with another friend who started doing climbing and stuff. It's like, you're going to probably be rubbish at it at first, but if you enjoy the process, keep going.
Yeah.
So again, I think it's just being surrounded by those people.
Yeah, I think that's definitely an important lesson to learn, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it just, if you enjoy something, then just keep trying. Maybe you are rubbish at it, but it's not, you're not always going to be rubbish. And even if you are, you're still enjoying it.
So yeah, who cares if you're not like, if you're not going to make the Olympics, for instance, it's not the end of the world. It's like, it's enjoying the process.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, cool. The other thing I was just going to go back to a little bit is what you said about, you know, dealing with other people and relationships now in your life and the effect of your growing up. So just, I suppose, talking to me a little bit about how that makes you feel. If you're thinking of things, for example, like, you know, if you have a boyfriend and then you become, or they become emotionally kind of dependent, and that makes you back off a little bit. What's going on there? Like, how does that make you feel and think?
I think it's the same way how I feel with everyone I interact with, is that I want to see the good through the bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when I start being in relationships where I don't feel prepared to be in, because perhaps I'm going through something, or that I'm feeling that basically I am their counsellor,
mm-hmm.
and they're not getting external help, then I know, oh, I'm going to feel resentful, I'm going to then hate them. And then I'm going to look back at all the lovely times that we had together and see it from a negative perspective.
Okay.
And first of all, it sounds a little bit cutthroat, but I would have wasted that entire year because I just see it negatively.
Mm-hmm.
But second of all, it's like, obviously I'm in a relationship with someone, I like their company and I like them for who they are. I want to be friends with them rather than go through the whole resentment side of things.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, which kind of means that I've probably thrown away quite a lot of good relationships. But I'm also kind of like, you know, the right person will come where you feel it is a good balance.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I probably would give up quicker than I would if I didn't go through what I went through, I guess.
Okay.
And it's the same with friends as well. I get, especially like, oh, I'm having a bad day, this happened. It's like, oh, that's really minor, no offence. But then my idea of minor to someone else's, it's like, it's all relative to what they've been through.
Yeah.
And when I was younger, I used to be like, what's wrong with you? That's not that bad. Mm. So what, your cat died? And I was like, oh, actually, perhaps, you know, that's probably their best friend.
Yeah.
They're probably really upset about it.
Yeah.
So I was just not very empathetic towards other people's needs.
Okay.
And yeah, sometimes that doesn't make like a good friend, you know, so.
Do you feel people come to you and want to talk to you about stuff like that and get like a level of support from you rather than you getting it from them? Is that something that you feel?
Yeah, a little bit. Sometimes it can be a bit one-sided, but most of it, sometimes you have to be honest. It's like, you've been saying the same thing for 3 years. You kind of need to sort this out. You know, obviously let me know if you're feeling really bad, because obviously you're still a friend and I care about you. But like, I can't do much about it unless you do something about it. Whilst I guess before I would just always listen, like, oh no, that's really bad, and start validating them over and over again. And I'm like, actually no, this is probably doing worse.
Yeah.
Like more bad than good.
Just as an aside, where do you think that change comes from? Is it just life experience? What do you think?
I think it is. I've also been quite reflective upon myself.
Okay.
Because obviously when someone keeps telling you things that are negative all the time, it a little bit of you, not dies, but you kind of take on that person's burden slowly.
Yeah, of course.
And then you realise that, like, you've taken more of other people's burden, and then you have your own stuff, and it just becomes overwhelming. And also, I think, having my own diagnosis, I was like, well, I'm able to do everything that I want to do and have, like, have a fulfilling life. But that was because I decided to go and get my shit together. Oh, sorry.
No, it's fine. You can swear. It's not
I should have checked before.
No, it's fine.
I'm a bit of a potty mouth, so.
No, don't worry.
Yeah. So it's basically just I decided I had to go and get it together, but also I knew that it took a long time to get there. But I can have all the support in the world. The only person that can change that is me. But yeah, that took probably about 10 years to realise that. So yeah.
Yeah, well, these things never come overnight, do they?
First, I think my mum really got it together.
Okay.
Like she knew what her responsibilities were as a mum and as a relative. Like, in Asian culture, like, if someone has a little bit of rice, that means you just share it with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it means that you're a little bit hungry, you make sure that everyone's okay. And I think it's a bit of a synergy with, like, quite working class families here as well. So, like, my dad's family, very similar. It's like, oh, yeah, if you need somewhere to live, but we can't exactly afford everything, we'll figure out a way, you know? But I'm not going to let you sit on the street and have nowhere to go. I mean, unless you do something, like, really stupid and burn down the house and start, I don't know, trying to light the dog on fire, then perhaps it's possible, like, you need to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
But if you're reasonable, you get treated with respect and the help you need
mm-hmm.
in both families. So, yeah, but I think it's just kind of, it stems from that as well.
Okay, cool. Do you have anything specific that you want to talk about in terms of the up then?
I don't know, I think what I'm trying to say throughout the whole thing is that, you know, that obviously something like a very big part of my life has been overcast by a negative thing.
Yeah.
But out of it, lots of small and big positive things have kind of come out of it.
Yeah, okay.
So that's kind of what I'm trying to say. And I think also, if you do have a chronic mental health problem, like me and my mum, it doesn't mean that that's a life sentence. Your life is now going to be misery. There's like so many things that you can achieve despite that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a mini Stephen Fry manic depression snippet, but yeah, I'm not as amazing as Stephen Fry, obviously.
Well, very few of us are. Yeah, I think that's the positive way to talk about it and also to think about it. So I like that approach to you thinking about it as a constant flow of time, if you know what I mean. So it's kind of, there is no specific kind of moment, but it's just this constant thread through your life, really, that's made you who you are in some ways. So yeah, do you have any kind of like hopes then for the future in terms of where you want to go to and what you want to achieve in relation to all of this stuff that we've talked about?
Yeah.
Is there a path forward for you, do you think, or do you just take it day by day?
I'm trying to be less day by day and more like create a bit more concrete goals. As an adult, you know, there's things like bills and stuff to pay for. So I think for me, I still want to enjoy the process and not like get too bogged down with like 9 to 5 and that's it, that's my life. And you know, feel like, yeah, I don't know how to describe it, but have goals but enjoy the process. I think that's kind of like what I hope to do. And you know, if I do have kids and I do have a family, kind of help them do that as well. So I think my goal would be to be financially stable enough to provide more opportunities than what my parents could give mm-hmm. me, and kind of continue that kind of growth, I guess. And yeah, I mean, see things like being able to have a cat would be nice.
Yeah.
Have my own house, a garden, all that kind of stuff. But I think that's quite, anyone you speak to in the world, I think things like family, things like having your own home, things like having like a kind of a reason to live, whether that might be like from a spiritual side of things or from a materialistic side of things. Like everyone's pretty much the same, regardless of, you know, colour of skin and religion and everything like that. So, yeah.
Okay. Earlier on, you mentioned a kind of, hesitate to say like fear, because that's not how you phrased it, but you talked about how you actively think about not having the same impact as your mum might have had on you. How do you deal with those kind of thoughts?
Well, it's not being as good as my mum.
No. I don't know. Maybe I misunderstood earlier on when you spoke about your relationships and things like that.
I think I, to some extent, because of the way that my mum's illness affects her, it makes a bit of a pain in the arse, basically.
Okay.
And my, and sometimes I feel like that I get quite resentful towards her, and I'm worried that, I think with relationships, when you have a bit of dependency, I don't want to resent them. So that's kind of my fear, and also my fear of having a family.
Yeah.
Is that I could develop schizophrenia later on in life. So I did actually say what my mum's mental illness is. And bipolar and schizophrenia are quite close together in terms of same medication, same kind of treatment. So that's at the back of my head. It's like, I need to be with someone who would accept me when I could be really, really bad.
Mm.
And that is the fear where I was like, I kind of, if I'm feeling they're emotionally dependent on me and I see kind of their weaknesses, it's like, well, are they still going to be with me when I show them my weakness?
Mm.
And yeah, obviously when you love someone, you want to be with them, you want to be with them through good, like, thick and thin. I'm kind of wondering whether they're still going to be there through the thin. But I have a lot more with my, but the way that my mum's dealt with it and the way that I think I'm dealing with things, and the way that I see a lot of people's, not just them individually, but their families dealing with things, going to realise actually there is some hope.
Yeah.
But it, again, that took 10 years of kind of life experience and knowing that everyone to some degree has, like, is on the spectrum of, like, a mental health situation, illness. Don't know how to say that in the PC way.
No, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
I'm sure it will make sense to other people as well. Okay, that's really cool. I didn't know if there's anything else you want to talk about while you've got the microphone in front of your face.
I think that's pretty much it. I think the most important thing is just finding time for yourself. But I think with the lockdown, like, a lot of people have been forced into isolation, been forced into their own thoughts.
Mm.
And it's like, what do you do in that situation? Do I just sit there and play Xbox all day? And it's like, yeah, Red Dead 2's out, it's great. And just do that and just, you know, basically keep playing poker on it. Or do you go and, you know, and kind of enjoy that space for yourself? Or do you just go, oh, I really miss my friends, I really miss my family, oh no, I'm worried about my job. Like, you have too much time to kind of be with yourself.
Mm.
And especially when, like, it was hard to get jobs and stuff, I think there was a real pressure. And I think sometimes, I think it made me learn to be by myself and not to constantly bombard. Like, as I said, I went swimming, I did all kinds of things as a kid to get on with it. Whilst instead of going, no, I'm going to be by myself, you saw me pruning some plants earlier. Like,
yeah.
I'm going to go and try and learn how to keep plants, and perhaps I should get my fitness in order. So perhaps I started going walking everywhere, started taking my camera out more and do film photography instead of digital photography. Started trying to do little projects with my friends remotely, and that's really, I think it's like, I think lockdown's given me space to to be myself and also be away from all the other problems that other people sometimes give you. I think for me it's been a good thing, but now I'm kind of worried about going back in society and talking to people. So I think what I'm trying to say is that a lot of negative experiences kind of teach you how to deal with another negative experience and make that into a positive. It's like, obviously, hopefully you didn't have another pandemic again.
Hopefully, God.
But it's like, what do you do, you know, what can you do to better yourself? What can you do to make yourself happy during these, you know, I guess, dire times?
Mm. Yeah, I think that's really interesting, actually. So you're, in some ways, then, how I see what you said, so tell me if I'm wrong, but it's kind of, you're talking about building blocks, basically. So this is kind of, this difficult situation of lockdowns and all of those sorts of things has actually allowed you the time to focus on yourself. And that isn't potentially something that you've done before.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before, you would have thrown yourself into things to crack on with life and not think about other things too much. Whereas this has actually given you the tools to be able to have another facet of yourself, to feel comfortable with yourself. So that's quite interesting, I think.
Yeah, I think before lockdown, I look at myself like, oh, I look really fat. or perhaps I don't like the way I look, I don't like some of the photos I took, like, oh, they're rubbish, right, you know, they're really, like, I can't show this to anyone, it's an embarrassment. And instead of going, right, I can criticise myself all day, or I can just go and try and make myself better for it.
I'm with you on that. You know, the podcast, sometimes I just think, why am I doing this? I don't know, sometimes I don't really care about the fact whoever listens to it can listen to it or not listen to it.
Yeah.
And then other times I'm like, God, this is so rubbish. How is anyone ever going to hear this and think it's good? But you just got to keep trying. Just keep doing stuff. Like, you enjoy the process of your photography and things like that. I enjoy the process of this. So I think we've just got to keep on keeping on, really.
Yeah, exactly. But at the end of the day, you're doing it for yourself. You're doing it. If you do things for yourself to make yourself happy, then to other people, you're also then being the best version of yourself. Don't see, like, Mr. Cranky Pants all the time, like, oh, yeah, that's awful. That's awful. I hope, like, I just hate everything. It's awful. Then it's like, oh, well, so something good must have happened.
Yeah.
It's like, no, well, it's all awful.
Well, if you're happy to leave it there, then we can leave it there.
Yeah, unless there's anything else you want to talk about?
I don't think so. Happy to leave it there, but thank you very much for your time. This is the first time I've done this for a year and a half, so I really appreciate you allowing me to come and talk to you and telling me about your experiences, so thank you.
No worries, thank you very much.
Hello, I hope you enjoyed Yasmin's story. I just want to thank Yasmin again for coming onto the podcast and being so open about her experiences. I really liked the way she approached the discussion and interpreted her one up, one down as a continuous process, kind of like a wave throughout her life where a down gives meaning and context to an up and vice versa. As always, if you enjoy the podcast, please do rate or review on whichever podcast app you use. The more people who like it, the easier it is for new people to find. So it really does make a difference. Thank you to everyone for listening, and I'll be back next month with a new episode. Bye.